We continue in our study of the characters of the Old Testament and primarily looking at them from the standpoint of the lessons that we can learn. For after all, we know from Romans 15 and verse 4, the things that we have yet still recorded for us in the Old Testament are there written for our learning, that hopefully we'll be able through patience and the comfort that they provide us to also be able to have the hope of heaven when this life is over. So I trust that our study has benefited us to that end in all of the lessons that we've studied so far, as well as the lessons, Lord willing, that we'll continue to study from the example of the Old Testament. Tonight our study is from the book of Ruth, about a woman by the name of Ruth. And to just ask the question, or to answer the question, who is Ruth? We find that as far as her name is concerned, the word or the name Ruth means friend, means companion, it means comrade. And certainly as we look into the book of Ruth, we see that as her name suggests, she is truly a loyal friend to Naomi, and that we will be seeing as we go throughout our study. It's also worth noting that there are two books in the Bible that are named after a woman. Of course, the book that we're studying, the book of Ruth, and the other is the book of Esther, which, of course, the woman is Esther. So, two books in the Bible out of the 66 books that we have that make up both old and new that are named after a woman. Ruth is a Moabite, and that's all we'll say about that for the time being, but I think we'll be able to see the significance of this fact as we continue to study. Looking at just sort of a summary of the book of Ruth, we see that in addition to Ruth, the other main characters of the book are Naomi, and later on, it will be Boaz. We see that Naomi lived in Bethlehem with her husband and two sons. But the crops failed, and the family moved to the country of Moab. And Naomi's husband, while there, dies. And we see that her sons, her two sons, marry women who were Moabites, citizens, of course, of that country. And we find that, of course, Ruth that we're studying about is one of those Moabite women that Naomi's two sons married. After Naomi's two sons die in Moab, Naomi decides to return back to Bethlehem, where she, of course, originally from. Naomi tells her two daughters-in-law to stay in Moab to find new husbands for themselves. But we've noticed that Ruth refused to stay. And she went to Bethlehem with Naomi instead. And what we need to understand, and this is the point that I wanted us to remember when I said that in identifying who Ruth is, that she was a citizen of Moab or a Moabite, is that according to the law of Moses, the Moabites were not allowed to become Israelites. And we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. Nick, would you read that for us?
Because they hired against you, fell the son of war from Bethlehem.
Okay, so we see both the Ammonites and the Moabites were enemies of Israel, and we see the reason why. That when Moses was leading Israel out of Egyptian bondage to the land of Canaan, they desired to pass through, and yet they did not allow them to have access, or certainly it would have been a much shorter route had they been allowed to, rather than the route that they ended up having to take. And so, as we noticed here, it says that they will never or not enter the assembly of the Lord, and it will be forever because of that reason. They would not allow them provisions that were necessities as well as made their journey that much more longer. And yet what we see here is that Ruth becomes completely loyal and faithful to the Lord and was allowed to be joined to the people of Israel. So this helps us to see that we're studying about someone that truly is remarkable, and we'll see that as we go on. One of the most often quoted passages. I guess I should have said the most quoted passage. If you'll ever hear one quoted from the book of Ruth, it's found in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Tim, would you read that for us?
Entreat me not to leave you, or turn back from falling after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you to me.
So we see here that she makes this statement, and it gives insight as to the relationship that existed between a mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law. She said, I will go with you. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. It's in Bethlehem that Ruth meets Boaz and they marry. And I want us to take note here that their son is Obed, who will become the father of Jesse. Now, who was Jesse? The father of David. Yes, Obed's grandson will be King David. And so, whether we realize this or not, Ruth, though she is a Moabite, she became part of the bloodline of the Messiah, of Christ. And as far as the book of Ruth is concerned, it is believed that it was written by the prophet Samuel. So, in looking at this brief summary of the book itself, let's look at what we can see and learn concerning the lessons that we find in it. One of the lessons that surely we can see is that there is hope, even in the most devastating times of our lives. The book of Ruth begins by looking at the life of Naomi. And after moving to Moab with her husband and sons, she loses her husbands. She becomes a widow. And just 10 years later, she loses both of her sons. So it seems that Naomi's entire life crumbles here in the land of Moab during those years. In fact, even when she returned back to Bethlehem, Sid, read us first the chapter 1, verses 20, and the first part of verse 21.
Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again.
All right, so this is what she says upon her return back to Bethlehem after having gone to Moab, losing her husband, losing both of her sons. And you know, when you really think about it, really and truly think about it, it's overwhelming to lose a spouse. We have several in this audience that have lost their spouses. And that truly is an overwhelming thing. And it's a heart-wrenching thing to lose a son, to lose a child. But Naomi has lost two of her children. So I think we can certainly well understand the statement that she made that's recorded for us in verses 20 and 21. And let us realize that Ruth lost her husband. In the death of Naomi's sons, that was a husband of Ruth. So when Naomi's son died, then Ruth's husband died as well. So she's left behind. And now she leaves behind her family to go with Naomi back to Bethlehem. And when they both arrive, they're destitute. They're devastated. And they're broken. And neither one of them knew how it would be, how they could survive, how they were going to survive. And yet both of them had faith that somehow things would work out. They had hope. Naomi, we know, already felt that God had dealt very bitterly with her, and yet she continues to hope. Ruth set aside her pain, left her home and family, and turned to the future with hope as she journeyed to a new home with her mother-in-law. So both of these women showed great faith, and they truly believed that better days were ahead if they would continue to worship and to serve God. You know, when life brings devastation, it's not easy to hope. It's hard to have faith. And however, it's when things are difficult. That's when we need faith. That's when, of all times, we need to have hope. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, Brother Don.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
How many times have we heard that verse? We've read it, we've heard it in Bible classes, we're hearing it tonight, we've heard it in sermons. Hebrews 11, verse 1. We read these verses numerous times. But you know, to me it seems that when we go back to the Old Testament, in situations such as what we're studying here with Ruth, that the meaning of verses like Hebrews 11 verse 1 just simply reinforced in our minds. Or at least that's the way it reacts to me. Because what we're seeing here in the lives of Ruth and Naomi is the fact that the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They went back to to Bethlehem, not knowing, not being able to see anything, but like what we talked about a minute ago, devastation. And yet, they maintained their faith. And that's what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. So looking at Ruth and Naomi, we can see that even when we can't see beyond our pain, we can have hope that better days are coming. So I think that's one lesson that we need to take away in our study of the book of Ruth. Another lesson, clearly, that we see is God does not play favoritism. And the verses I've got up here are not verses we're going to read, but they're verses that say that very thing. God shows no respect of person. God shows no partiality, depending upon which translation that you're reading. Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, James, and 1 Peter, all of these verses talk about God has no partiality, no respect of person. So here we have Ruth. She's a widow. And as you can imagine, life as a widow is not easy. Especially to think about being a widow back in time when Ruth lived. You know, sometimes things are better today for widows in the sense of financial. They can draw from their husband's Social Security and have a monthly income. But back in that day, when a spouse passed, that was it. The widow was on her own, except for the possibility of her family. You know, when you lose the provider in the family, life is tough. And the same is true with Ruth. There's nothing really special about Ruth in the manner of speaking. And what I mean by that is, remember, she's a Moabite, a woman that doesn't belong to the tribes of Israel. She's not rich. She's not from a wealthy or an affluent family. So, in all of that respect, she has nothing going for her. So, we need to be thankful that God does not play favoritism. He doesn't see people according to their wealth, according to their status, according to the station in life that they might possess or occupy. And you know, Ruth may have been a nobody in the eyes of society, that is, the society that was around her in that day, but she was somebody in the eyes of God. And in the same manner, we are of great value. You know, we are the very creation of God. And because of that, He cares for us. I think it was last week that we took the time at the very end of our study to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And that's another one of those passages that we read, especially with the emphasis on verse 33. It says, first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But let's not miss another great point that Jesus is making in all that He says on those verses. The fact is, God cares for the birds. He feeds them. God cares for the flowers. He makes them beautiful that even outshines all of Solomon and his glory. Now, if God, and no if to it, but if God cares for the birds and the flowers, then remember that statement that Jesus made? Are we not of more value than they? So that's an important lesson. Certainly, let's don't minimize verse 33. about seeking, putting God first, but let us realize in what we're studying here in the book of Ruth that God doesn't show favoritism, and if God watches over the birds and the flowers, that is a part of his creation, we too are a part of that creation. And Jesus has very plainly said, we are of more value than that. Another lesson is doing the right thing often requires great sacrifice. You know, doing the right thing isn't always easy. In fact, most of the time, it's not easy at all. And it oftentimes requires sacrifice, great sacrifice. We know that Naomi reminds Ruth that she's free. You're a free woman. You're a free woman to leave. Your husband, my son, is dead. You're free to leave. You're free to go back to your family. You're free to go back and find you another husband among your people. So, she was free to go back to her gods and free to search for a new husband to take care of. And even when Ruth's sister-in-law does choose to go back to Moab, Ruth makes a different decision. Ruth chooses to go with her mother-in-law. And what that shows is not only how dedicated Ruth was to Naomi, but also her dedication to the God of Israel. Remember, we read there a moment ago in chapter 1, verse 16, the statement that she made, because it tells us what she decided. She decided, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. So Ruth sacrificed her family when she refused to return to Moab and instead go with Naomi to Bethlehem. Her decision and her commitment to go with Naomi was a selfless act, but an act that caused Ruth to be in the bloodline of our Lord. So doing the right thing may sometimes require great sacrifice. This next lesson, I didn't know exactly what words to use to express this next lesson. So, anyway, sharing our relationship with God brings closeness in our relationship with others. And let me explain what I mean by that. The story of Naomi and Ruth are so blended together that their stories are really difficult to separate. You see, we know more about the relationship between these two women than we know about them individually. These two women shared great sorrow, but they also shared great affection to one another. However, we also see freedom in that relationship that they had. Naomi loved Ruth, but she was willing to let her go back to her family. She was willing to let her stay in Moab, if that's what she wanted. But it was Ruth's love for Naomi that made her willing to leave her family and to go with Naomi. So here's something else to give consideration to. Even though Naomi knew that a new marriage for Ruth would change their relationship, she still played an important part in arranging the marriage that took place between Ruth and Boaz. So, I say all of that to say it had to be their faith in God that was at the center of the relationship. Through Naomi, Ruth learned about the God of Israel. It was obviously through Naomi that Ruth made the decision to serve Naomi's God. And obviously, it was Naomi's ability to be open and to be honest with Ruth about her relationship with God that caused Ruth to want to serve God. Hope you understand what I'm getting at here. You know, let's kind of make an application here. Do we often feel the need to keep our thoughts and our understanding of God and His Word to ourselves within the relationship we have with our friends, with our co-workers, or even other family members? And this next thing I'm asking in the form of a question. We don't usually share our thoughts and understanding about God with friends or family members. Is that a statement that describes us? Certainly that was not true of Naomi. Because Naomi was open with Ruth about the joy, the fear, the pain, and the anguish that came upon them. All of that came with Naomi's faith that she had in God. See, remember, she admitted that she felt God had dealt with her bitterly. She shared that with the people of Bethlehem, and I know she shared it with Ruth. So, what we're saying is, yet it was that sharing which was the foundation of this relationship, this deep relationship that these two women had for each other. So sharing our relationship with God brings closeness to our relationship with one another. And I think that's what we see with Ruth and Naomi. And then too, another lesson, we must be people of character even when we think no one's watching. You know, when you look at that word character, it's who we really are when no one else is watching. Ruth had no idea that millions of people down through the ages, including you and I, would read her story. She lived a simple life in obscurity, and yet she shows incredible character. In fact, even Boaz makes mention of her character. Rodney read us Chapter 2, verse 11, and also 2 verses 10 and 11 in chapter 3.
It's been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. For you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men, but the poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman.
So, what better things could have been said about Ruth than what Boaz just expressed to you? You see, Ruth went above and beyond in the way in which she honored and respected her mother-in-law. And in doing so, she became known in the entire city as a virtuous woman. And that's remarkable, truly remarkable. Because sometimes the relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is strained, but obviously not between Naomi and Ruth. She worked hard to provide food for her and her mother-in-law. Everything she did showed her character, and because of that character, we know that she was honored by God. She's in the lineage, the genealogy of our Lord. And like Ruth, we also need to work to be women and men of integrity. And then, one other lesson. God uses unlikely people for his purpose. Again, Ruth was a poor, hurting, outcast widow. She grew up in an evil country, an enemy of Israel. She was childless. She moved to a foreign land where she knew no one but her mother-in-law, and they struggled with poverty. She, we're told in chapter 2 and verse 3, she had to go behind the reapers in the field to gather grain to sustain her and her mother-in-law. And anyone who looked at this foreign widow would have never guessed that God would choose her bloodline for the line of the promised Redeemer, Jesus. And you know, it's through the story of Ruth that we learn God uses the most unlikely people for his purpose. Just look at the five women that are mentioned in the lineage, the genealogy of Jesus. There's Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. All five of them women are specifically named in Matthew's account of the genealogy, Matthew 1. And yet, remember, Tamar, she resorted to trickery to bear a son. Remember Rahab? She was a prostitute whose faith saved her from the crushing walls of Jericho. Ruth, she was a Moabite and a widow. Bathsheba, who is referred to as Uriah's wife in the genealogy of Jesus that Matthew records in verse 16 of chapter 1, she became David's wife after David took her for himself and killed her husband. And then there's Mary. Mary was a young virgin who was already engaged to Joseph when she became pregnant with Jesus. And you know, I don't know if we ever thought about this concerning Mary. She showed great courage in her willingness to bear the scorn and the shame that came with the pregnancy that occurred before marriage. You ever think about that? You ever think that maybe life wasn't easy for Mary as she was bearing not the seed of man, but the seed of the Holy Spirit? Not being impregnated by man, by Joseph or some Roman soldier, as some people try to make out like she was. She was a virgin and yet pregnant. But that's all the people knew. She's just not married and she's pregnant. So, what Ruth does is she reminds us that no matter what is in our past, and no matter how difficult our circumstances may be, that faith and devotion to God makes a big difference. And even so, in our obscurity and in the mess of what we might have made of our lives, faith and a commitment to serve God can enable us to be His children and give us the hope of eternity in heaven. And one last lesson. All things work together for good to those that love God. Romans 8, verse 28. The story of Naomi and Ruth started with tragedies, death, and loss. And if we focused on how they started, you know, it would seem that all is lost and hopeless. However, as we go through this story, it ended with blessings and a new life of her son. And so in this life, we may go through a lot of trouble, but this thing holds true. The old proverb, not a proverb in the Bible, but an old proverb, this too shall pass. Ruth's life story is undeniable proof of how true Romans 8, verse 28 is. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. See, no matter how bad our situation is right now, we must hold on to our faith. Like Ruth, let's stay committed. So in the conclusion of our study, when we go through tragedy and despair, let's remember the story of Ruth, the story of Naomi and Boaz. And may they give us hope that no matter what happens in our life, there will still be a happy ending as long as we stay committed to God. If not in this lifetime, it will surely be reality in the life to come. So I think truly there are many things that we can come away with from our study of Ruth, and I hope these are by no means all of them, but I hope these are the ones that will stick in our minds and that will be of a help to us. Lord, whether next Wednesday evening we'll look at Saul, King Saul, that of course became the first king of Israel, and I know somebody was making light of what I was saying concerning the reading of our assignment. But if you want to start with 1 Samuel 9, that's where the story of Saul begins. And however far you want to get through 1 Samuel, certainly feel free to, because his story goes all the way in through to chapter 31 before we see him passing from the scene. So keep that in mind and do some reading, if it's at all possible. Thank you so much for our time together and for our study of the things that we have looked at this evening.